Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, it had been 278 days since the Bucks were full strength. It had been about, 35 or so days since Giannis and Chris were on the floor together. But full strength, Tommy. Giannis, Chris, Drew, Joe Ingles in the mix, everybody involved. Last time that happened, game two against your Chicago Bulls. Yeah, yours, in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
I'm not Brian Noonan. Well,
could have fooled me with some of this Taco John's talk, but it had been that long. It's hard to believe, 278 days. I looked up the dates and got that figure. I heard somebody else ask, like, I think it was about 280 days, and then you start to do the math in your head, like, no. There's 360 days in a year. That was May, April-ish. No. Oh, yeah, I guess it checks out.
It was fun.
The injury?
No, yesterday, I'm saying.
I mean, you were 0 for 1 on your Taco John's takes.
Yeah, yesterday was fun.
Yesterday was a lot of fun, yeah. And you almost want to pinch yourself. Like, is this real? Is this team healthy? Is Giannis looking this good again? Giannis is hitting pull-up threes in the opening quarter. We got to see Chris Middleton back on the floor. We got to see Joe Ingles with Chris Middleton. And look, we talked about this quite a bit last night on Bucks Talk. It's not a good Pistons team. It is a Pistons team that is towards the bottom in the NBA, in all of the association, not just the Eastern Conference. But, you know, Drew Holiday said this last night after the game, too. It's been a while since we had a game like this, where just start to finish, you go out there and you blast the opponent. We've seen a lot of big leads, not just from the Bucks. NBA teams in general evaporate. That's just the way the game is now with the three-pointers. But it didn't happen yesterday. It was a game that you needed, where it just kind of felt like you were taking out frustrations. And look, this is what we were promised all season long. Now we finally got it. It took until January 23rd, but hopefully, knock on wood, hopefully it's here to stay for quite some time. And Giannis, after the game, said the obvious. We're pretty good. We're pretty good. When I look up and down this team, we're good. It was our first game back together. What did we do tonight? Scored 150 points. Yeah, I think we're pretty good. And as long as we stay healthy, I like our chances against anyone in the Eastern Conference. Paraphrasing, but that's essentially what Giannis had to say after the game last night. And now, again, health is paramount here because I mentioned in January the schedule does become a little bit easier for the Bucks. December, that was a grind. You know, 15 games, 10 of them were on the road, and it was against a lot of very, very good opponents. So December was a tough month for the Bucks. January, it flips. You only had a handful of games against those upper echelon opponents, and one of them is tomorrow. Nikola Jokic, the two-time reigning MVP, and the Denver Nuggets come to Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. So you have the Nuggets tomorrow. You got the Pelicans next week. And that's it for the month of January. So, you know, the Bucks, as it stands, have been playing better in January. You'd still like to improve some of the defense. The offense is suddenly starting to find itself. Some more offensive statistics we'll share in a moment that are essentially mind-blowing here with what this team has been doing, but it's out there. This is the roadmap for the team to just keep winning these games against teams you're supposed to beat, get healthy, stay healthy, and when that schedule gets even more difficult, you'll hopefully have all your guys back. There is an update to the injury report. I have good news and bad news for you, and how many times have we said that on any Bucks programming throughout the season, but I do have good news and bad news for you if you haven't checked the injury report just yet. I will share those pieces of news with you in the next segment. We will also take a look at who was the best sub of the week. And now this is an award that's going to start to get interesting. If Chris is here for good, Giannis is back on the floor consistently, Joe Ingles is in the mix. So we'll reveal the sub of the week for last week, a week that saw the Bucks continue to just knock down three-pointers at a very, very high rate. And we will preview the marquee matchup of this week. A bit of a weird week of Bucks games. You got the game against the Nuggets tomorrow. You got a game on the road in Indianapolis against the Pacers on Friday. And then the old Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday scheduling of the next upcoming week. But once you get past Indiana, you're home for the next four games. So five of these next six games for the Bucks are all at home, and that leads into your first West Coast road trip as you get set for the All-Star game. But the good news, bad news that I promised as it pertains to the injury report, we will share that next and get to the marquee matchup in Sip of the Week. Actually, I should say this. The good news, bad news, we'll get it out of the way now, Tommy, because coming up next, we go courtside and check in with Gale Klappa and his conversation this week. So the good news and bad news. The good news is Giannis and Chris Middleton's names are off the injury report for tomorrow's game against the Denver Nuggets. The bad news is we saw Bobby Portis leave in the fourth quarter yesterday. Bobby Portis is out with a right knee sprain. We heard the team was optimistic. It's not going to be anything that keeps him out. 0-for-1, not anything that's going to keep him out long term, so we'll shoot for that. You got Giannis and Chris back, but just when it seems like you're up the hill, you just take one step back. So at least one game tomorrow without Bobby Portis. But as promised, when we return, we will hand things over to Gale Klappa as we go courtside. This week, Gale Klappa's conversation with associate head coach Charles Lee. You will hear that after this on Bucks Weekly.
The names you know.
We're joined by one of the key players on the Bucks roster, Bucks forward Pat Connaughton. He's a player that Wisconsin fans know well. Wesley Matthews, a majority owner and the current governor of the team, Mark Lazzari.
Talking about your favorite basketball team from on the court to off.
You never know. You might not have that many years left, so the hunger is for sure still there.
But I mean this. I think the fans in Milwaukee honestly recruited Bobby Portis more than anybody. I mean, he loves the fans in Milwaukee.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. The dog days of the NBA season are upon us. We're well past the halfway point of the 82-game marathon. The All-Star break is coming up fast. But deep into this campaign, the Bucks have not had their full roster available for a single game. Not one, until last night. Their record, now 30-17, fifth best in the league, and in the thick of the battle in a tough Eastern Conference. Yet the big question is still on the table. How good can the Bucks be if only they can get and stay healthy? Tonight, we'll check in to see what condition our condition is in. We visit with a rising star in the NBA coaching ranks, the top assistant to Coach Bud, Charles Lee. Charles, thanks again for joining us here on Courtside.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I always look forward to sitting down and having a conversation with you, Gil.
Oh, always enjoy it as well, Charles. And Charles, if you were worried at all about the sore knee that kept Giannis on the bench for five straight games, you got a resounding answer in Detroit on Monday night. Gosh, Charles, Giannis looked like he could have taken on the Pistons like all by himself.
That's a pretty accurate statement. I feel like that a lot of nights, the way that he plays. We're very lucky to have him back. I know that the last couple of days while he's been out, he's been grinding with the medical staff, just trying to get his body back right. He's been on the court trying to push himself a little bit. So really excited and really just happy for him that he was able to get back out there and get back out there with his guys. I know he was looking forward to that.
And Charles, Coach Bud mentioned that the left knee soreness that Giannis endured is something that flares up almost every season. Chat about that a little bit, if you will.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we all get to watch Giannis play every night, and the force and the power and the athleticism, the explosion that he plays with at his size is pretty significant. And so I think a guy that just plays at 100% night in and night out in an 82-game season is bound to have just a little bit of wear and tear. And so it's a lot of torque on that knee. It's a lot of force and pounding. And I think that just every now and then he's got to check in with it, make sure he's doing his stuff with the medical staff. And, you know, that whole team, Troy and Suki and Brett, they're always just trying to stay on top of things. And I would say just trying to be ahead of the situation so it never gets to a place that is going to keep him out for a significant amount of time.
interesting. And then, Charles, another sight for sore eyes Monday night, Chris Middleton finally back in action for the Bucks. Chris, of course, had missed 38 games so far this season. Charles, he certainly looked like he was moving freely Monday night. Is his knee back at full health?
I think that he's making a lot of strides. I don't know if it's at full health, but it's definitely in a place that's a lot stronger than it was a couple weeks ago. I think just like Giannis, we talk about Giannis, and just like everyone in the NBA, like, you know, it's a grueling season, a lot of practices, a lot of traveling that puts some wear and tear on your body. And so Chris has done a phenomenal job of fighting through some of the frustration, because I think sometimes, you know, with these injuries of like wear and tear, they can linger a little bit. And so like you feel great one day and you let it and you go out and you have a great workout in the weight room and on the court. And then the next day it kind of flares up on you a little bit. And so then you got to take a step back. And so I think that what Chris was just working through the last couple of days was trying to find some consistency in his work ethic or in his workouts. And then also just making sure that the next day there wasn't going to be a setback. And so I think he saw a couple weeks of just really good progress. And, you know, as competitive as these guys are, they can't wait to get back out there. And they see that their teammates are playing back-to-backs. And you got Toronto in an overtime game. And guys got to play 41-42. So they're like, ah, I feel bad. I'm leaving my teammates out there to dry. And so they're working hard for themselves, but also for the players and the guys that have really just become like family and brothers to them.
Charles, is it a matter sometimes of the coaching staff and the trainers protecting a player from himself who really wants to be out there?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of, you know, the players and the coaching staff and the training staff just getting on the same page. We don't want to be short-sighted and think about things just like on a day-to-day basis. I think that as players, as coaches, as a team, we have big plans for this team. We have big goals. And so if a player sometimes might be able to go out there and fight through it for a night, but it's going to set them back, like I said, for a week or two, it's not worth it. And so I think that occasionally, as we all sit down and we kind of figure out these plans, we want to be process-oriented, and we just want to make sure that we are thinking about the bigger picture at hand here and not being short-sighted.
Makes a lot of sense, Charles. And speaking of not being short-sighted, what can you tell us about Bobby Portis? He left the game against the Pistons with what looked like a knee issue, Charles.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually not quite sure, so I don't want to speak too much on it. I think that Bobby's going to get further, you know, evaluation today, and we'll see how he feels as today he gets checked and as the week goes on. But, you know, after the game, Bobby's a warrior, and I'm fine. I've never been hurt. This ain't going to hurt me. I'm not going to sit out. So, you know, Bobby definitely played it off like it's not going to be anything serious. But the docs will look at him, and we'll get an update probably tomorrow before shoot around.
Very good. And Bobby clearly having the best season of his career. Charles, he's literally been a double-double machine and, I think, a legitimate candidate for Sixth Man of the Year. Your thoughts?
I agree with you, Gail. He's definitely played at a really high level. And, you know, with a lot of these individual accolades, I always think that winning should be connected to it. And so I know that obviously we're like in that third hole of the Eastern Conference right now, but I still think that he's just contributed at a really high level on a team that's also winning at a pretty high level as well. And so I'm just really proud of him. He had a heck of a summer, and he's one of the guys that, you know, as much injuries as we've had this season, he's been pretty consistent with how much he's been able to play and how much he's been able to give us on a night in and night out basis. And just his versatility, Gail, you probably can see it on the offensive end, the ability to shoot the three, the ability to post up, the ability to come play pick and roll and make a play for himself or for others. And defensively, we can put him in a couple different coverages. So it's just a real joy to have a player like Bobby out there on the court and to have him out there consistently and to be able to produce consistently. It's been a really nice luxury for us.
Bobby was one of our guests on Courtside a few weeks ago. And Charles, we joked that Milwaukee is lucky to have two mayors, our new Mayor Johnson and Mayor Bobby Portis, right?
You were spot on with that. I can't believe I've had to come on after. So Joe Ingles and Bobby Portis, like just two of the most fun loving guys. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up with the caliber that they probably had on this show.
Well, you're doing great so far, Charles, and we'll have more with Charles Matthews in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. Now back to Gale Klappa and Bucks assistant coach Charles Lee.
Charles, as you know, Drew Holiday was just named Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Over a five-game stretch, 33 points, racked up nearly 10 assists per game, and shot more than 50% from the field. Charles, I know the entire Bucks organization is pulling for Drew to actually be named to the All-Star team. So deserving. What do you think?
I agree with you completely. He's very deserving of the honor of hopefully becoming an All-Star. I think that if our team can put together a few more wins here the next couple weeks, that'll definitely help his case. And if he continues to play at the level he's been playing, that alone will help his case too. It's been really fun to watch, you know, as you're playing without Giannis, you're playing without Chris and some other guys that have been in and out of the lineup. Drew's had to not single-handedly, it's always a team effort, but I think as one of our primary ball handlers, as one of our leaders of this team, he's had to take on a bigger offensive role. We know every night he's going to have a huge defensive role and have to guard the other team's best player, which can take some energy away from you. And he's found another gear offensively, and it's been really fun to watch. And just as much as he's been able to do things for himself scoring-wise, it's also cool to watch him kick the ball ahead to Brooke and, like, let Brooke go ahead and drive a couple times. And so he's doing it in an unselfish, aggressive way too. And so hopefully everything that he's been able to put together these last few games without the other guys on our team, he continues that same aggressive mindset even as they come back and we get healthy.
Sometimes it's hard to believe our eyes. If you will, comment on the kind of trick shots that Drew sinks when he's down on the baseline, falling out of bounds, halfway behind the backboard. Some of those shots are just like, you can't believe it.
The talent is just so good, so high. We actually laugh on the bench sometimes that the shot behind the backboard, he probably shoots at like a 70% clip. And so maybe we should run more of his post-ups. Yeah. For him to just get behind the basket shot and his step back three and his left hand Dr. J finger roll layups. And so he's just such a uniquely talented player. I wish that I could say that I helped work with him or Coach Chad works with him a lot. And I think that a lot of it is just Drew's instincts and talent taking over in those moments. And man, he has the ability to really just wow us on a night-in and night-out basis.
Speaking of, I think the other night, he sunk a shot from behind the backboard over the top of it. Do you remember that play?
Oh, I do. It was. I want to say it was right in front of our bench. And a shot clock kind of going down, and it ended up being a really big shot for us. And he just takes it with such confidence. And, you know, he practices them every now and then. I don't know if that's something that's probably a good thing. But it's not like he's just completely pulling it out of nowhere.
Well, I can about imagine. It sure seems like his improvisation is just amazing. And if you will, Charles, switching gears a bit, give us your impression of a newcomer to the Bucks. Our guest on Courtside last week, Joe Ingles, an NBA veteran, signed as a free agent in the offseason after a serious ACL tear. But he has really been through the NBA wars.
I'm just glad that now he's going to be going through the NBA wars with us. He has been a thorn in our side ever since he's been in the league, I would say. I remember going up against him in Utah, and he just brings this grittiness to him on both ends of the court. He can shoot it. He's a smart, high basketball IQ guy. And it's funny, now having him on our side, I get to see the personality that he has too. And you probably got a good taste of that last week when he was on your show. Never a dull moment when you're sitting around Joe Ingles.
Yes.
He can touch a lot of talking points can be hit in a 5-minute conversation with Joe. But he's just brought a really good life to our team. Another jolt of energy, another jolt of just competitiveness. What he lacks athletically, he makes up with his basketball IQ and just his overall, like, grit and, like I said, feistiness and competitiveness. And then offensively, it's just nice to have another a well-rounded basketball player out there that understands how to make a pass, not afraid to take a big shot in a big moment, and also drive and create for other people.
Amen. And then, Charles, there's our own Splash Mountain, Brooke Lopez. Now, as you know, there's no bigger Disney fan in the world than Brooke. So I'm wondering how the Bucks are helping him cope, you know, emotionally with the closing of the Splash Mountain ride at Disney World. Any thoughts?
Well, I think part of his healing process was to go and be a part of the closing down of Splash Mountain. And then the other part of his healing was last night at the game. It was really good to watch him play and shoot some threes. And we had a moment during the game where he hit a three. And, you know, speaking of Joe Ingles, he stood up and he goes, "Yeah, Brooke, that's just like, what's that ride guy that he really loves? Splash Mountain." And then he yelled out, "Go ahead, Splash Mountain." So it was a pretty cool moment for obviously Joe and for Brooke. And I think Brooke got a little laugh out of it, too.
I'll bet he did. Well, may Splash Mountain, not Brooke, but may Splash Mountain rest in peace. And we'll have more with Charles Lee right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. Here's more with Gale Klappa and Bucks assistant coach Charles Lee.
Charles, the Bucks have roughly 35 games to gel and jockey for playoff position. At this point, what do you think the biggest challenge is facing the team?
One of our biggest challenges right now, I think, is just trying to stay healthy. We understand how talented we are, how good we can be on both ends of the court. I think that we've seen it at small points of the season or like in little segments of the season. Now we just have to do it a little bit more consistently. And I think that having guys healthy is part of that consistency. I give props to a lot of our role guys that have had to step up in major ways. But, you know, for them, at times it's, you know, unfair that they have to now play a role that they're not used to usually being in. And so, you know, now all of a sudden Javon, instead of playing his 10 to 15 when we're really healthy, you've got to play 30 plus. And, you know, you're asking these guys to do a little bit more, and they've done a heck of a job. And they've helped us be in a position right now that we're still – towards the top end of the Eastern Conference. But I think that once you see Chris and Drew and Giannis are back a little bit more often, it helps kind of people get back to their homes, get back to their roles. And now you have an understanding of what's expected of me night in and night out.
And Charles, one of the benefits, I assume, of having some of the players unavailable for much of the season is really that a young draft pick of the Bucks, Marshawn Beauchamp, has had some real opportunity for Byrne, and he's been impressive, certainly last night, with how he came on, and he seems to be really aggressive and really focused on scoring and on defense.
Oh, most definitely, Gil. He's shown some really good flashes in the opportunities he's gotten this year. And you're spot on with the fact that though some guys have been out, other guys now get to step up and get an opportunity. And he's made the most of it on top of, like, you know, your Grayson Allen's getting to grow a little bit more, Pat Connaughton getting to handle some pick and rolls and DHOs. But, you know, Marjan, his first year in the league, he's done a lot of really good things that I think have even – have the vets really excited about him. And so everyone wants to coach him up, and everyone wants to give him a pointer of how to be a little bit better defensively and how he can be more aggressive offensively. And what are the things that you need to be looking for and thinking about. And even on the professionalism end, I think that a lot of our guys have taken to him and tried to help him in that area too. So outside of even the coaches, the players see a really bright future in Marjan and have really tried to help him. And he responds really well to coaching. And so excited to see him get out there. I think last night he had a couple highlight reel dunks, which is always nice for a young guy to get your mojo going. To your point, like defensively, he's going to have great length and athleticism and be able to guard multiple positions, I think. And offensively, he's shown that he can play on the ball and play off the ball. And so really bright future for Marjan.
That's terrific. Well, Charles, switching gears just a bit, as you know, the Bucks will face some very physical teams in the playoffs. teams that are capable of really effectively building a wall against Giannis. Your thoughts with our current roster, how are the Bucks equipped to overcome that kind of a hurdle?
Well, you know, this team has done a great job of buying into our early offense running habits. And so we emphasize a lot how important it is to not allow other teams to build a wall on Giannis, on Drew, on anybody else that's going to be trying to attack early in the clock. And so we've made a big emphasis this year on, I think, our running habits and just getting better at it and being consistent and not being lazy. And it's hard. It's a hard job to win in this league. It's hard to be good in this league. Everybody can be everyone can run the floor, you know, one time a game, but are we going to be the team that really wants to win at a high level? And so we're going to do it multiple times, several times. So for 48 minutes, we're going to have great running habits and not allow them to build a wall. And then I think also just behind that, we've implemented a lot of other offensive things that are going to help us be able to score in the half court. So half court execution has been a big emphasis for us too, because we know once the playoffs come, those walls are going to be there. The game plans are going to be in place to kind of take away some of our early attack, and we got to be ready to execute in the half court. And that last layer of the half court execution, I think, is your ability to offense or rebound. And we've been doing that at a much higher rate than I think I've ever seen with the Coach Bud team. And so it's part of our evolution, and the guys have really taken to it. And I think that's going to be another emphasis that's going to help us in the playoffs. I remember our championship year. I want to say we were first in offensive rebound rate. And so we understand how important that is in the playoffs.
And finally, Charles, a big test on the horizon. The Joker and the Denver Nuggets roll into town this week. The Nuggets, of course, sporting the best record in the Western Conference. If you will, Charles, give us a quick scouting report and a couple of keys for fans to watch for in the game coming up.
A quick scouting report. Man, I might need to, you know, the TV shows how they have, like, call a friend or use the lifeline. It's Coach Pat St. Andrew's scouting report, so I feel like I need to get him on the line. But I would say from my own perspective, it's going to be a great test. Like you just talked about physicality, the games that I've watched them play so far, they've been really good defensively. And, you know, acquiring Bruce Brown, acquiring KCP, they've taken up, I think, their wing defenders to another level. And they're always going to be a team that's up and pick and rolls and going to blitz you a little bit and make you have to move the ball and be able to finish in the paint. And then offensively, we're dealing with another unicorn, just like Giannis, a guy that is at the center position, one of the best passers in the league, but also can score it at a really high clip. So I think that it's going to be a team effort to try to figure out how to slow down the Joker and his supporting cast. But our guys are going to be pretty hyped up for a good Western Conference battle.
And it'll be at home, so it should be a really fun evening. Well, Charles, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a great pleasure to sit down and chat with you. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
All right, my thanks to Gail Klompa for that conversation with Associate Head Coach Charles Lee. I mentioned just before we turned things over to Gail that the injury report for tomorrow that the Bucks have submitted is not blank, but the good news is Giannis and Chris are off the injury report, but I think a handful of us watching the game had feared, Bobby Portis will not play tomorrow, so you get close and you get that one game of being at full strength here, and now Bobby Portis is going to miss tomorrow's game with a knee sprain, so we'll certainly keep an eye on that. But look, to be dealing with Bobby Portis, who may be the sixth man of the year the way he's played so far this season, to deal with Bobby Portis being out, but still have Joe Ingles, to still Giannis, Chris, and Drew on the floor, and Brooke Lopez, you will certainly make that trade 10 times out of 10. So that's the good news for the Bucks. I mentioned this schedule, too, is a bit of a shift from where things were back in December. So you have the Denver Nuggets tomorrow, and right now the Denver Nuggets have the best record in the Western Conference and the second-best record in basketball. They have won 9 of their last 10. They are playing tonight and winning. They're headed to the fourth quarter in New Orleans, and the Nuggets lead the Pelicans 83-74. Bucks are 7-1 this season when they face a team that is on night two of a back-to-back. That one loss, do you know when it was, Tommy?
Was it the Bulls game?
And you claim you're not a Bulls guy. It was Saturday against the Cavs.
Sorry.
Yeah, Bulls on the mind, apparently. But the Bucks have fared very well in those games. They've fared very well in games where they're on night two of a back-to-back as well. But that schedule is the Denver Nuggets tomorrow, the Indiana Pacers, who you just beat last week, and who have been a nice story all season, but we're starting to see a little bit of settling. We saw it a couple of weeks ago with teams in the Western Conference like the Utah Jazz, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Portland Trail Blazers. And we're now starting to see it a little bit more with teams like the Wizards, like the Pacers, potentially like the Raptors. So they're starting to settle into place now. They're 24-25. They're currently ninth in the Eastern Conference. But you do have those New Orleans Pelicans that I referenced. They also come to Milwaukee in a game that will be played next week. It is going to be Sunday, or this weekend, I should say. So between now and when we speak again on the 30th, you've got the Nuggets, the Pacers, and the Pelicans. It is a no-brainer. The marquee matchup is the Denver Nuggets because we don't know if Zion Williamson is going to play in that game on the 29th. He's been out for a couple of weeks. The timetable for his return would line up right around that date. So remains to be seen if Zion will play in that game. But you've got the two-time reigning MVP in Nikola Jokic. You have the player that preceded him in winning the MVP, also back-to-back years in Giannis. So the last two players to win the MVP spanning four seasons go at it tomorrow. And this is a Nuggets team that has given the Bucks fits the last couple of years. I remember way back when the final game at the Bradley Center between these two teams, not the final game at the Bradley Center, but the final time they played at the Bradley Center, Nikola Jokic had a triple-double by halftime.
Wasn't that the fastest triple-double of all time?
In NBA history.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I do too. It wasn't a fun memory. I had another double-double in Fiserv Forum. So the Nuggets have played the Bucks incredibly tough, and this is a more complete Denver Nuggets team so far this season. As we mentioned, they lead the Western Conference. They've done a lot of that without Jamal Murray being the Jamal Murray we saw right around the bubble. Aaron Gordon has been incredible for him this year. Bruce Brown was a thorn in the Bucks' side when he was with the Denver or with the Brooklyn Nets, and now he's doing those same things with Denver. So it's a no-brainer. This is the marquee matchup of the week, and it should be a good one, if for nothing else than the marquee alone of Giannis and Nikola Jokic. So that is tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum, 7 o'clock tip. 6:30 is when our Bucks Radio Network pregame coverage begins. And as always, stick around on this station and ESPN Milwaukee as well for Bucks Talk as soon as we wrap up the game. But I mentioned the news on Bobby Portis. He won't play tomorrow. That means we're going to have somebody else than the usual. It seems like Bobby Portis winning the sub of the game tomorrow. But who took the sub of the week home for this previous week? We will reveal that and get you set even more so for that matchup with the Nuggets as we wrap things up next on Bucks Weekly. Putting the finishing touches here on this week's edition of Bucks Weekly. I just finished putting something together, Tommy, prior to the show tonight that will air on the pregame for the Bucks Radio Network tomorrow. If you thought you were excited and it's great to see Giannis and Chris back, just wait till you hear what we got planned for segment two tomorrow.
Did you make the one for yesterday, too? Wasn't there one yesterday?
Well, I'm going to let you know another secret. I make all of them.
So, yeah, I was getting so jacked up.
Yeah, if you hear it, unless it's an interview with Dave Kane, if you hear any imaging on the Bucks Radio Network, it was by me.
Wow.
It's like humble brag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
But yeah, we will relive the return of Giannis and Chris on the Bucks pregame show tomorrow. So the Bucks and the Nuggets tomorrow from Fiserv Forum. And there's a lot that's going on here for the team in the coming weeks here. Obviously, All-Star is fast approaching. I believe we haven't gotten it official yet, but I believe Giannis is team captain.
I heard they're going to do something new for the draft this year.
A third team?
No, but I heard like it was going to be, who's it was gonna be sooner. Like, or later, rather. It was going to be like, I don't know if this is true or not. It might be rumblings.
Whoa.
But they might do pickup style. Like pick it right before the game starts.
Where did you hear this?
On Twitter. Can't put anything on Twitter. It's not true.
Is it a blue check mark?
There was a blue check mark.
This was on my Substack.
But blue check mark doesn't mean anything anymore on Twitter.
Well, yeah. Was it a bot blue check mark?
I don't know. I didn't check that far into it.
So I... Boy, who thought we'd have the All-Star discussion? I don't know about you. I'm kind of over the team captains thing.
Would you rather it be conferences?
Yeah, because, look, you started doing the team captains because there was a big disparity in talent in the West versus the East. That's gone. I mean, the East can thump their chest and say we have the better teams now, and the talent is pretty well spread out at this point. I mean,
yeah, everyone's got a guy.
Donovan Mitchell went from the West to the East. James Harden went from the West to the KD went from the West to the East. LeBron made the jump to the West, but... It's pretty even at this point, so I'd much rather just go back to conferences with the caveat that if Giannis is going to be team captain, then fine. I'm fine with doing captains and choosing teams. But I do believe Giannis is team captain. We'll find out officially Thursday is when TNT will announce the two captains and the 10 starters. I don't think we're going to have any movement from where we were at the third check-in, which was Friday night, so he had 24 hours left to vote. So I do believe Giannis stayed past Kevin Durant for the second team captain, and it's going to be until February 9th. We're going to have to wait to see if Drew Holiday gets in as a reserve. So 2 weeks from Thursday is when we will find out who the reserves are. We do have to hand out our sub of the week, and it's usually Bobby Portis. He just played one game as a sub since our last show, so I think it would be a little unfair to give it to Bobby, even though he had a double-double in that one game. But our sub of the week for the previous week, this is tough, but it comes down to two names. I am going to go with Joe Ingles for what he did, averaging just under 10 points, shot 69% from the floor, 67% on his threes, and 4 assists, 4 rebounds that he averaged per game. Joe Ingles, our sub of the week for the previous week. Again, the Bucks host the Nuggets tomorrow night. 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 is when our coverage begins on these airwaves. And then immediately afterwards, stick around for Bucks Talk. My thanks to everybody for tuning in, to Gale Klappa for his conversation with Charles Lee, for Tommy Wartz for producing the show. We'll talk to you next Monday with another edition of Bucks Weekly.